A 45-minute message. Does anybody need to go to the washroom? We're going to just truncate today's message to, I think, what we need to hear as a fitting wrap-up for the ministry that Derek and Lisa have. I first want to actually pray particularly as we're a family. Harry and Barb, just as they walked in today, said they have a cousin who's in deep need of prayer for emergency cancer surgery. So just let me stop for a minute, and then we'll talk about Jesus as we come to a conclusion. Father, for Harry and Barb's cousin Dave, we pray that the emergency surgery would gather all the cancer and take it out, and that the grace that you've shown him in having this diagnosed would draw him even deeper into your arms, in Jesus' name. Amen. I think perhaps even that title right there is fitting, because what Derek and Lisa do is prompted by the kindness of the Lord Jesus Christ, who came to give us life and give us life that we could pass on. And I want to just cast you back. So today we'll just do a very short portion. But cast your minds back 1,990 years ago, the year 28 or 29. A 31-year-old carpenter has been in ministry, has been out talking to people about his Father in heaven, about God, and doing miracles and healing people and casting out demons for about a year. A man somewhere just a little older than Mike Funk and about 7 years younger than Derek. From my perspective, a young man. So he's been going around for a year, and he's now in northern Israel on the border of the Sea of Galilee. And he's been teaching, and of course his miracles and his healing and his demon casting has drawn great crowds of people. But he realizes that he wants to take a group of particularly young men and women aside and teach them more fully. So he leaves the shore and he heads up. We say mount, but it actually means hills. And he goes up to the hills and he looks for a level place where he can gather his disciples around him and teach them more specifically. And when he finds his space, he does what rabbis do when they're about to teach. He sits down. It's a posture of teaching. And then it says, and the Bible catches this phrase, he opened his mouth to speak, which is the formal introduction to teaching time. And this is what he said to his disciples, the first words we have recorded of his great Sermon on the Mount. He says, "Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are those who mourn, for they will be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they will inherit the earth. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they will be filled. Blessed are the merciful, for they will receive mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they will be called children of God." And a Mennonite favorite. "Blessed are the peacemakers, for they will be called children of God. Blessed are those who are persecuted because of righteousness, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven." And what follows from that, from there on, in chapter 5 of Matthew's Gospel, is chapter 5, 6, and 7. It's the longest continuous piece of Jesus' teaching that we have recorded anywhere. We call it the Sermon on the Mount, and it's known as perhaps the finest ethical, moral, and spiritual teaching that has ever come from human lips. And over this fall, we're going to soak ourselves in this, because this is life-giving teaching. And next week, we'll look more fully into why Jesus was not just another Messiah, another revolutionary, another teacher, but was somebody different than everybody had been heard before. And we're going to look at that. But this week, I just want us to soak in these words of blessing that he begins his message with. So if you'd stand with me, and let's read together the words from the Sermon on the Mount, the great blessings with me. Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are those who mourn, for they will be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they will inherit the earth. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they will be filled. Blessed are the merciful, for they will be shown mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they will see God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they will be called children of God. Blessed are those who are persecuted because of righteousness, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. You may be seated. I'm just going to skip to the end here. What I want you to notice about this and these blessings, because life starts in the moving of blessing. Grace always starts your life, my life, our journey with Jesus into the kingdom he's promised coming, into the transformation that makes us truly alive, starts with God moving first. And you can even see this in the placing of the Beatitudes, the blessings at the beginning of the great teachings. It starts out with blessing. And even within the Beatitudes, that's the name for these blessings, there's actually an order. And I thought, I was worried about this when I saw it, because if you see something in the Bible that no commentator or nobody else in history has seen in the years of study, then perhaps you're off base. But I was delighted to see others have picked this up. And that there's an order to these Beatitudes. The first four blessings are about receiving. The poor in spirit, that's those who know they are not inadequate themselves and are hungering for God to be their resource. Those in that posture, they are promised to be part of the kingdom. Those who mourn, God moves in and comforts. The meek, the humble, they have an inheritance of the new kingdom. And those who hunger and thirst, as you do every time I open a news website or stop and read a newspaper or hear it on the radio, I hunger and thirst for righteousness and justice to be in this world. And if you hunger and thirst for that, know that God will fulfill that. He's coming to set things right. So the first four blessings are about receiving. We're just in a posture of need, and God comes to us. God always makes the first move. My brothers and sisters, you don't have to earn God's affection or favor. It's upon you. All you do is call out in your need. He makes the first move. As a matter of fact, it's God who stirs in your heart to have that hunger. Amen. And the second four blessings are actually a little bit about responding and acting. They still come from a posture of need, but Jesus says, blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy. So he's talked the first four about him filling and meeting us. And then as we've received from God mercy, then mercy flows out. And so we act out of having received mercy. The pure in heart, those who have set themselves on dropping away things in life that bring death and are hungry for God, they will see God as you move in this direction. Blessed are the peacemakers, those who work to create shalom, wholeness in their communities. They will be named God's children. And finally this, those who are persecuted because of righteousness, because you have committed yourself to living in a way of righteousness and justice, doing good and self-sacrifice to your neighbor. When you're persecuted, know that that's because you are a citizen of God's kingdom and have an inheritance there. So I hope you see this. And if there's a takeaway today, there's this. Before Jesus starts teaching about who he will make us into be, he comes to us, and he puts his arms around us, and he blesses us. God always makes the first move towards people. He made the first move towards Jaden when he sent Derek Duval into your life. Amen. He made the first move to me when he sent Robin Ozaduke into my life. God makes the first move. And at the beginning of these great teachings, I don't want you to go away saying, I don't measure up, I can't do this. Oh God, I'm not trying hard enough. I want you to go away saying, God, thank you for coming to me in Jesus Christ. Thank you for pouring blessings out me, even though I've done nothing to deserve it. You just love me because you made me. Go away knowing today that God moves first, that grace comes first, that you don't earn it, that I don't earn it, that we don't deserve it, but He loves us and He pours out His love on us lavishly. Let me pray for you and me. Father, we've heard today how, and we know that even Derek just was walking along in life working for BC Event Makers. Setting up, being a carny, setting up bouncy castles and games. And you sent Lisa Duval, Lisa Miller, into his life as an agent of your blessing. And first you moved, and then Derek responded. And out of that, you have continued to move into the lives of young men and women in this community. You make the first move. And I pray for my brothers and sisters as we go home today that we could just relax. That we cannot earn your love, but you give it lavishly. And continue to pour out onto my friends from Chilliwack and Surrey and North Delta and wherever we come from, and Langley and Abbotsford. Pour out on my friends your undeserved love and your favor in great abundance. And allow us, and work in our hearts, break them wide open to receive, that we might pour this grace on to our neighbors and those hungry for you. In the name of Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen. Kristen.